game and wrestle, and we wish we can get our hands on you and the Fort Harson take call of your body parts and rip them off one by one.
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, I just went through this whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went, poof. All right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Vic Anthony.
Get a river right down the lake of the city. No women, ran and rivers are weeping.
WW Radio is on the air. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to a warm swath of Bugworms Free Edition of OWW Radio. I am Alan Wojcik. Nick Anthony might or might not be joining us tonight due to some work-related issues. Always with us this time, the man, the legend, Mr. Aaron Kendrick. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I am doing outstanding. How are you, Alan?
I'm good, and unfortunately I'm not one of the five people that we're about to talk about, because thanks to World Wrestling Entertainment, we got something to talk about at the top of our show, and that would be the annual pre-post-WrestleMania releasing purge. For those of you that don't know about it, here's a little something like this. It all started the other day when your friend and mine, Hurricane Helms, got the Future Endeavors call. Not even a couple minutes after that, Paul Burchill, who I didn't even think was still under contract to WWE, he got the call. And then, your favorite diva and mine, Maria Kanellis, who's been off TV doing Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice show, she got the call. And then something you don't really see every day, Aaron, a referee got released, and that would be Scott Armstrong. And just when you thought it was all done, Charlie Haas got the Future Endeavors. I mean, out of everybody here, well, apparently maybe Maria asked for her release. She didn't ask for a release. We'll get into that in a minute or two. Of any of the five that we just mentioned, Aaron, who's the biggest hit that the roster just took that fans are going to realize come watching SmackDown or Raw, they're going to go, oh, crap, man, they're gone.
Maria. It's got to be Maria. She is, hands down, the biggest star out of that bunch. I mean, Hurricane is a step behind, you know, but he's no Maria. People love Maria on Friday nights. And it was really shocking to me, because of the gimmick that they've been doing with Matt Hardy. I mean, just out of nowhere, they just send her Future Endeavors.
Well, that's the thing. For those that have been watching SmackDown, it's almost the same situation that, like, Eric Perez went through. You're on TV one week, and next week you turn around and you got the Future Endeavors paperwork. There's this little thing that's, you know, the WWE portrays itself as a Hollywood-type organization. Well, there's this little thing that you have in screenplays that's called continuity, and there's no continuity there now. Especially, fortunately, they're not like a TNA that tapes weeks and weeks in advance, which will change, which we'll talk about in our later segments. But, I mean, so you're not really sitting there going, crap, now I don't have Hurricane Helms, or I don't have Burchill or Charlie Haas to cheer on anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's someone out there that thinks we're wrong and you're sitting there going, dude, you know, you need these people. We need these people. Everybody needs these people. Don't hesitate to give us a call, or email us in, or IM me. My IM is ALANWOJCIK. Our live phone number, which we're going to give you right now, is 888-357-9876. Hit option 2 when you get there. Just to also let everybody know, one of our three guests that we had set up for tonight, that would be Mr. Addicted to Love, Rhett Titus, is supposed to be calling in at 10:30, but we found out earlier today his little boy had a rough day at school stomach-wise, so he may or may not join us. In a little while, we will be joined by Pro Wrestling Fusion owner Joey Machete, and also at 9:45 Eastern, we'll be joined by Women's Superstars Uncensored owner Sean McCaffrey. Also, if you don't want to dial the 888 number, you can Skype in to WTR_Sunday Night. The big news also this past Monday Night Raw is we got some matches, man. We got some interesting matches going here. For those that missed Monday Night, it looks like we got the matchup that everybody thought wasn't going to happen, Aaron. We're getting Bret the Hitman Hart versus Vince McMahon. Are you sitting there going, oh yeah, I'm excited about this? Are you sitting there like me going, I hope this isn't the car wreck that it looks like it could be?
Well, it's honestly very bittersweet for me because, you know, it's sweet for me because of two reasons. One, I'm getting to see my hero in the ring one more time. And two, at school, I've actually got a little bet going on with somebody that I caught the little spoiler a couple months ago that they were talking about putting Bret in the ring. So I'm going to win $15 out of the deal. And what's really bitter for me is we've been talking, me, you, and Nick, and you have brought up some really good points, Alan. Like, Bret, he is not in the greatest shape. And, you know, a stroke victim, I can only imagine how little it would take for something to go terribly wrong. So I'm very in fear for Bret's health at WrestleMania.
All right. Now, do you see this possibly going down into a situation where it's an interference fest and everyone that ever hated Vince McMahon or got screwed by Vince hits the ring and Bret just stands there with a popcorn and a soda going, yeah, this is great, I'm getting paid for this?
Well, I don't know if I'd see that, but, you know, since they're doing the broken leg gimmick, then I expect it to all be centered around that so that, like, all the action will be based around the leg. So there won't be anything above the waist much, I don't think. So they're really putting some psychology into it. So I don't know.
Yeah, if they keep cutting the promos like they did this past Monday night, they may need to pass out some Dramamine at the audience. I mean, I was just sitting there watching the DVR of it this morning, and I'm going, okay, you're talking and talking. And are you going to, like, talk? Hello? They did it real subtle. Look at Sheamus and Triple H. All of a sudden, Sheamus jumps Triple H at the end of the tag team match.
Yeah.
Everyone and their cousin knows, boom, you just got a match right there. Sheamus versus Triple H because he screwed him out of the belt in the Elimination Chamber. I mean, I'm having fun talking with Aaron, but I want to talk some callers, man. 888-357-9876, option 2, or you can Skype in at WTR_Sunday Night. The other interesting stuff to come out of this past Monday Night Raw, WWE-wise, we've got some additions to the Money in the Bank ladder. Right now, I believe it sits as MVP and Jack Swagger, who basically had job matches on Monday night. I felt bad for Santino Morelli. He gets in the ring, and all of a sudden, I went to go get a nice tea out of the refrigerator, and I'm like, what do you mean the match is over? What the heck happened? And you got Jack Swagger at the same type of, MVP at the same type of match. So now you got MVP, who's already in a Money in the Bank. Swagger, brand new guy. Kane got in this past Friday night. Another rerun. Christian Cage was the first one to qualify. And then you got another repeat offender in the Money in the Bank and Shelton Benjamin. And then you got Dolph Ziggler. And of these six so far, is there anyone you're sitting there going, why in God's name are they in this match? Or is there a matchup that you're thinking, like, wow, I get to see Christian Cage, Dolph Ziggler, Shelton? Because Shelton and Cage, they could probably steal this match out from underneath anybody.
Yeah, they've done it several times in ladder matches. I mean, Shelton, the Money in the Bank match has become besides CM Punk, it has become known for Shelton Benjamin and his crazy stunts. I mean, remember 21 at the first Money in the Bank, Shelton, he wedged a ladder into another one and ran up it and then clotheslined somebody. Last year, he jumped off the top of it to the floor and dang near killed himself. And, of course, Christian, with all the TLC matches, it's going to be good. Just with
That, I guess, is the thing, that you want this match not to be, as Mick Foley would call it, a four-finger stinker. You want... Everybody knows it's a spot-fest match. There's no way around it. This isn't going to be, for my generation, this isn't going to be a 60-minute Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat-type match. If you're coming into this match thinking there's not going to... They're just going to use the ladder to climb and that's it, wow, are you wrong? The other thing that's possibly going to be going on here is, I believe it's this Monday night in Portland, Oregon on Raw, you're going to see a handicap match with Randy Orton taking on Legacy, which is still Ted DiBiase and Cody Rhodes. If you're a paying customer, Aaron, are you sitting there going, you know, I want to see this as a three-way dance or a triple threat, or are you just thinking, going, ah, I'm tired of the Legacy thing? Me, personally, I'm kind of tired of the Legacy thing. I'm at least with Randy. Send Randy off. Let Randy do whatever Randy wants. Let Teddy and Cody go and just... There's got to be a point where you just got to split the group up.
You know, I really don't get why Randy was ever the leader. I think, you know, they say it's because he's a third-generation superstar. Ted DiBiase is a third-generation superstar. And, like, you know, they're just sitting there, and they ruined it with... what's his name? The Samoan. They ruined it with Snuka's son, you know.
Yeah, Sin Snuka.
Yeah, they could have kept adding to it, and that's just, you know, they had something there, but they blew it.
Well, we've still got a couple weeks to go here before the big WrestleMania show, so who knows if we're going to get even the tag team titles in. They may end up, like we talked about last week when we watched NXT, you may end up seeing The Miz have to defend the U.S. title. You may not. I'm not really sure how that's going to go. 888-357-9876 is our number. Option 2, you can Skype in at WTR_Sunday Night. That's Aaron Kendrick on the other voice. I'm Alan Wojcik. And when we come back from our break, our first guest will be on with us, the owner and promoter of NWA Pro Wrestling Fusion, Joey Machete, will be with us. This is OWW Radio, and we'll be right back.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. ClickWrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 the purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, tough enough trainer, and just all around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
The evolution continues. Sunday nights when Wrestle Talk Radio hits the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Covering the latest in pro wrestling from all the news you need to know. Comprehensive pay-per-view coverage and some great debate.
And this week we've got Mr. Perfect scoring off against Rick Rude.
Plus, you will never know who will drop in for a conversation.
This is Extreme Championship Wrestling's referee, Jim Molina.
I'm former WWE superstar, ECW superstar, Al Snow.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
Interact live with the show anytime at 1-888-357-9876. And give us your take on the world of pro wrestling. Join Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com.
job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reasons I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Wow, that's an awesome song, and the best part is, none of us on this call, none of us have been hit with the greatest horrible phrase in the wrestling language, which is, you've been given your future endeavors. I'm Alan Woja, welcome back to OWW Radio, 888-357-9876 at option 2, or Skype us at WTR_SundayNight. Get on the lines, because we have got, if you've ever wanted to talk with someone about the NWA, yes, that NWA, or if you want to talk independent wrestling, we have the owner of NWA Pro Wrestling Fusion here based in Florida, Mr. Joey Machete on the line. Hey, Joey, this is Alan, and that's Aaron on the other voice.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing tonight?
Hanging in there. You've never gotten that phrase from a wrestling promoter at all. We don't want to use you anymore, Joe, so thanks for coming in.
No, I always did good business. I never got fired from anywhere, thank God.
For fans that may not be familiar with you, for the last few years before we talk about Pro Wrestling Fusion, you were a part of a very popular tag team on the indie scene, the Black Market, which used to be the Market Crashers, with Sean Murphy. What led to you deciding, you know what, I'm tired of the wrestling business, I'm going to start my own company? Give us some background on how Pro Wrestling Fusion came to be.
Well, to be quite honest, it was me and Sean as a tag team for 10-plus years, and I never got tired of the wrestling business because I'm still in the wrestling business, and I'm going to continue being in the wrestling business for the rest of my life. I imagine it's a sickness, but it just came about where we were going places, and either it was too hard to get two guys in the door, or once we finally got in the door, Sean was like, man, I'm just not into this. And it was just me kind of pulling him across the finish line every time, and he just really wasn't into it. His heart wasn't into it. He wanted to train MMA, and he wanted to stay at home. He didn't like the traveling. And me, I was the exact opposite. And there just came a time where he just looked at me and said, man, I just don't want to do it anymore. So we just broke up the team, and Sean's like a brother to me. So, I mean, we still talk all the time, and he's over the house, and I'm over his house, and we still do stuff together all the time. But the time for us as a tag team ended, and it was just because of the travel, and he just wasn't into it anymore.
Whenever you were getting into the business, Joey, did you ever envision yourself being a tag team wrestler, or did you always want to be a singles wrestler?
Well, you know, it was, I got in 98, and yeah, I guess I always wanted to be a singles wrestler, but when I broke in, it was just really, really natural, because Sean and I broke in together, and we didn't know each other, and we were at a wrestling school that was just god-awful, and we were just the only guys that stuck around and wanted to learn, and we kind of realized that everybody else was just goofing around. So I had found another school, and I asked him if he'd want to go with me, and we went to that school together. And when we came to the new school together, we had already knew how to bump and things like that. We already had some of the basics, but we came in kind of as a package deal almost. That's the way everybody kind of saw us when we walked in the door. We were the same level. We were best friends. We were, you know, driving up together. We'd always go to shows together. So it was just natural for them to put us in the ring together at the same time. And to be quite honest, it was some of the best times in my career. It was real natural, and it was real fun, and I grew to love the art of tag team wrestling, and I'm actually very I'm very outspoken about how it's supposed to be done and this and that, because I was a tag team wrestler for so many years and got to wrestle, you know, so many different teams and in so many different places. But yeah, I never dreamed of being a tag team wrestler, but it was a real nice fit, and I just went with it.
888-357-9876 is your number to dial in with option number two. This Saturday, you're in the Tampa, Florida area. You can see Pro Wrestling Fusion live. You can go to ProWrestlingFusion.com. And it's actually one of, I believe, in the next couple months, you've got, if I went to the website and read this right, you've got seven different shows booked. Is this going to be like, for fans that don't know it, Pro Wrestling Fusion basically ran, I think it's like once a month during 2009, Joey, and correct me if I'm wrong, and now, is this like a year that you're seeing yourself expand out? Is that how this is going to go out for the fans?
Well, yeah, the first year, we had a couple months where we did like two or three in the month, but for the most part, we ran monthly. We tried different areas out, we tried different town guys out, and it just seems like now, what we've built as a company, people, you know, recognize us as a quality promotion. They understand we have a, you know, good production. We have fantastic wrestlers. Everything we do is quality. So people are willing to work with us a little more now. And, you know, there's only so much one man can do. You know, after we built, you know, ourselves or, you know, after like a year and a half, you know, now we're starting to see different things, you know, more opportunities and stuff. We actually have, 9 shows on the horizon, from now until May. I just don't have the other two, completely finalized. They're done, but I just don't have the venues and the dates finalized. They're definitely going to happen though. We've got 10 different cities we're working in. We've got great people in all places. And everything is working out really well. You know, if maybe one or two doesn't work out in the long run, you know, we'll still have stuff to fall back. We're just trying to grow in a smart way and you know, just keep it going. And tying ourselves to the NWA was a great thing that we did. You know, I'll talk more about that if you guys ask about that. But for now,
well,
we're just really...
That's my next question.
Okay, well, go
that
ahead.
How did that happen? Because for fans that might be going to the website, all of us, they're seeing that this event on Saturday is sponsored by the Wrestling for Cause charity, but also they're seeing NWA Pro Wrestling Fusion. How did Pro Wrestling Fusion tie into the NWA? And for fans that aren't aware of it, since TNA fell off the NWA map, what is the NWA as a whole now? Is it still the same thing of indie promotions, or is it like a big conglomerate? I'll be quiet and let you go into your thing.
Well, actually, the NWA is a bunch of indie promotions. You have certain guys that are involved in the NWA that are more powerful than others that get things done. I like to think I'm one of those people. Dave Marquez is definitely one of those people. Mario Savoldi is one of those people. You can go on and on and on. There's, you know, a nice core group of guys that have, you know, a few different places, like, you know, have a few different states, and they have a great bit of real estate that they can actually, you know, maneuver around. The way I got into the NWA was, the liaison between the NWA and TNA was a gentleman by the name of Ed Schumann. Ed Schumann, who was also Awesome Kong's manager, I was running my first show and I wanted to book Awesome Kong. I went through her because she was a friend of mine, and she directed me to Ed because all of her business had to go through Ed. When I went through Ed, we just started to talk, and we just really hit it off and really got along really well. Ed decided to manage my career. And we started talking about the NWA, and I started going into talking with him about his business, which was NWA Midwest. He owned 6 states of real estate there. It was Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Indiana. And in January, Ed had a long fight with an illness, and Ed passed away in January on the 15th, and he was just a dear, dear friend of mine. And Ed had left the NWA Midwest. He had partnered me in before he passed away. So now I am a partner in the NWA Midwest, and I purchased the NWA Florida name, and I'm running the NWA in Florida, which is under the NWA Midwest blanket as well. So now I'm, you know, I've got all that, and then I've got Florida, and I've got partners. One of my partners is Rico Mann, who designed the IWGP belt for New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's designed the TNA belts. The, you know, he's partnered in with Reggie Parks, who's the greatest belt maker in the world. And we also are, another partner of ours is Buddy Sokolic, who runs and operates Jam Music, which is a touring and promotional company. So that's all that is going to factor into NWA Florida and NWA Midwest, and you're going to see a lot of big stuff coming out of our camp in the next couple of years.
Well, let's talk your camp real quick, because your heavyweight champion is basically tearing up the NWA. The Sheik is not only the Pro Wrestling Fusion heavyweight champion, he's the NWA Midwest heavyweight champion, and at one of your last shows, I believe in Fort Pierce, Florida, he defeated Grand Apollo to become the NWA North American heavyweight champion. Is he possibly getting an NWA world title shot at Blue Demon Jr. soon, or how is this working out for the Sheik?
Yeah, you're definitely going to see the Sheik get a title shot at the World Heavyweight Champion, unless he's denied. The Sheik, everything that guy touches, he claims. He's a tyrant. He's one of the last remaining true villains of the sport. You know, it's a spectacle to watch. He's got, you know, brilliant robes and all the gold and the boots and the guy's just a real terror. And, you know,
he's evil.
Here
Joey, admit it. He's evil.
He's evil.
He's evil. The guy comes in the ring with a spike and a prayer rug, and people blew the living crap out of him. I've seen him in person, man. He's just got the biggest evil streak of heat this side of, well, the original Sheik.
Well, you know what? It's money. So we're proud to have him in our camp. We would like to book the Blue Demon Jr. against the Sheik. We've had that on the hook a couple times, and Blue Demon Jr. has last minute declined. He hasn't stepped foot in the ring with the Sheik. I wouldn't step foot in the ring with the Sheik. I don't know many people that would. So, you know, hopefully we'll see that match in the coming future. But the Sheik is just tearing up the country, and you know, we're really happy to have him in our camp, and definitely happy to have him on our roster. And you know, I don't know if we're necessarily proud to have him as a champion, but he's got some very, very big title defenses coming up, and some huge North American title defenses coming up from, you know, some of the biggest stars in this industry, and that's just very exciting for us at Pro Wrestling Fusion, and exciting for, you know, for the NWA and everything, because he's definitely a spectacle and definitely something worth talking about and worth watching.
In case you're just joining us, this is Joey Machete of Pro Wrestling Fusion NWA. 888-357-9876. Option 2 is your number. If Joey, you can hang out with us for a few minutes. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and we're going to talk about the NWA Pro Wrestling Fusion roster and also talk about someone that you just mentioned. We'll get your feelings on the rumors going around that Awesome Kong did get a release from TNA Wrestling. All that and more in a moment on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bluxest, All Time Pose, What If, Fair or Foul, even a eFed called Takedown. More? Okay, OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay. You'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forum. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one heard it. That one heard it.
Spaceman, oh, Spaceman, come on. Everybody, this is Biff Naked. Hang loose, hang ten, high five, go get 'em, fight the good fight. You're listening to WTR with Biff Naked.
Number Joey Machete of Pro Wrestling Fusion is joining us here on OWW Radio. I got an instant message from someone during a commercial break, Joey, that wanted to ask you if you were going to if this person's in the Calgary, Canada area and is getting ready to do an upstart with a wrestling promotion. I was curious if you could give him some advice on what you went through setting up Pro Wrestling Fusion.
Oh wow, I could write a book on that. That's not a quick answer. I think the only way I would have ever started a wrestling promotion is is knowing that I had all the guys in place. A team is the most important thing. I mean, I've got a video editor, I've got a ring announcer, I've got referees, wrestlers. I mean, my roster, you've seen my roster. It's absolutely
fantastic. I'm a part of your roster. I have no problem saying it. I'm one of your PR people, and I'm damn proud to be part of Pro Wrestling Fusion.
Yeah, everybody that is involved brings a lot to the table. I've really assembled an A-list of guys. You know, everybody that is the best in their respected field. And I think that's just the most important thing. And I mean, you know, of course you assemble what you can, but you know, it's business and you've really got to keep fine tuning everything over and over and over. And if somebody can't cut the mustard, it's really business. I mean, we're trying to do something special here. And when I first started, I really drew a line in the sand of guys that I wanted and thank God that I had the respect for being in this state for 12 or some odd years, that I was able to handpick my crew and guys said, okay, if you're going to do it, we'll go with you. And you know, that was, you know, there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears getting that respect. But I had the luxury of picking the best of the best. And, I mean, we did a fantastic job. And in under 2 years' time, we've gone from a promotion that was just the next wrestling promotion to the best wrestling promotion in the state. And I'm very proud of that. I'm extremely proud of that. And I'm very proud of my guys and my crew, you included and everybody included. I mean, we've really done a good thing and we've really done, right by the wrestling business and we've really done right by Florida wrestling. And it's something that we all should be proud of. It's definitely worked.
Yeah, we mentioned the current Pro Wrestling Fusion heavyweight champion, Sheik, who does have a match this Saturday. There's a team that, unfortunately, that is your NWA Florida Tag Team Champions, and most fans of Ring of Honor will know them. That's Corey Chavis and John Davis, the Dark City Fight Club. You mentioned you're a tag team wrestler by heart, being from the black market, but just run down your tag team roster real quick, and I can name Dark City Fight Club, the Heartbreak Express, the former Full Impact Pro Tag Team Champions. You've got three-time former NWA World Tag Team Champions, the Heavenly Bodies, plus Florida favorites, the Lifeguards and the Shane Twins. I mean, you've got tag team wrestling happening, Joey.
Well, here's the thing is tag team wrestling, I don't want it to be a lost art just because it's a lost art on TV. You know, everybody claims that, oh, they don't like that garbage on TV, they don't like this, they don't like that. Well, if you look at ProWrestlingFusion.com and you look at our roster, you'll see that we resemble the roster of NWA Florida, you know, in the 80s. We resemble that old WWF roster of characters, and I mean, everybody's in good shape. Everybody has a character. Everybody's got good gear. We have a professional locker room. And tag team wrestling is something that I am just, you know, of course, I was a tag team wrestler for 12 years. So when everybody says that the tag team scene is dead, I couldn't have a weak tag team, you know, a weak tag team division. So I've assembled who I feel is the best of the best. And like you said, we've got three-time NWA World Tag Team Champions, the New Heavenly Bodies, who are not so new anymore. They were trained by Jimmy Del Rey, a Heavenly Body. They were given the name, the robes, everything. The torch was passed to them. We have the Heartbreak Express, who are not only Full Impact Pro tag team champions twice, but they were also, I believe, two-time AWA, I'm not sure on the number if they were twice or three, AWA World Tag Team Champions. We have the Shane Twins, who made it to the mountaintop, and they were Gemini in the WWE. We have the Lifeguards, Florida Standouts. We also have a few other smaller up-and-coming tag teams that might make a splash, but it's going to be really, really hard when you're going up against those guys. Then, of course, our tag team champions are the Dark City Fight Club, who really remind me of the Black Market. Those guys are just smash-mouth badasses, and the fans love them. They're an amazing tag team. They have spectacular moves. They have fantastic psychology. They're in shape. They're tough. They look great, and they're great guys, and we're real happy that they hold our belts, and they do us proud, and they are definitely two badass guys that you know if those guys are going into a bar and somebody's coming in to start a fight with those guys, you know those guys representing your company, you don't have to be worried about it, because whoever's stupid enough to pick a fight with those guys they're gonna be on the losing end of the wishbone that night.
You know, you just described almost a total package for a wrestler. We had Bret Hart on the show a couple months ago, and Bret said when he was in the ring that whenever he wanted to make all of his matches look like he was in a bar fight. That's how believable he wanted his matches to be. And what you described there is just like a perfect wrestling package.
Well, I come from that old school, and I'm a student of the game, and I never stop learning, and there's plenty of DVDs of Bret Hart that I've studied as well, and just, you know, a lot of people are strange. They study wrestling tapes all the time, and I find that as to be a great tool, of course, you know, to study your craft, but it's weird as this sounds, I really like studying shoot interviews, listening to these guys talk. It's almost like driving in a car with them. And then, of course, when you're with guys that have been, you know, seen it all, done it all, you know, I sit, you know, under the learning tree and speak with them for hours and hours if I can. You know, for instance, like Kevin Sullivan or Jake Roberts or any of these guys that, you know, people say are the greatest minds of the business. Well, if you see them, you know, you might want to ask them a few questions that are on your mind to figure out how to perfect your craft as well as you can. So yeah, Bret Hart is a tremendous influence, and I know the stories he tells about that and his psychology behind that and everything, and you know that could very well be something I picked up from him and his words and his videos and all that. So I'm sure I picked up a little bit of that along the way.
We've talked tag team. We've talked about your heavyweight champ. I want to put in that Craig Classic is your cruiserweight champ, and it leads into another question that I want to, as we close this segment up in a couple minutes. You've got a great mix of young and old going here in veterans and rookies with someone like Craig Classic, Nick Primo, Chris Jones, T.J. Perkins, you got Tommy Taylor. But on the same card, you've got some amazing veterans like Mike Sullivan and Bruce Santee, Steve Madison, Buck Quartermain, Bruiser Bradley, Billy Fives, Francisco
Prince
Iaukea. You had the Black Nature Boy Scoot Andrews recently.
Sure.
Was this something that you set out when you sat down and said Pro Wrestling Fusion, I want to have this kind of mix so I can get the next generation ready that I'm not
of
putting...
course.
Good.
Of course, this is all my first break in the business was, and I'm, you know, not trying to name drop or anything. My first break in the business was Luke Williams, from the Bushwhackers. Luke got me to Puerto Rico and Luke told me something my second year in the business. He said, kid, well, actually he said, mate, you got to give back. When it's your time to give back, you give back. And what he meant by that was the old has to give back to the new. So when I was putting a roster together, I knew if I had the veterans in the locker room that, A, these young hotshots, not that my guys would ever be cocky, but they wouldn't walk around. I mean, if you walk into some locker rooms around the country and these young guys are all with each other and, man, they just think they've done it all, seen it all, and they can do it all, and they haven't even left their backyard yet. I mean, and it's just... It's disheartening to see. Well, I mean, you really can't do that in my locker room because you've got about 20 guys around there that will cut you down in 2 seconds. Before our matches, you're rolling around the ring with Prince Iaukea. I mean, this is a guy that was with Buddy Lee Parker training the Power Plant in WCW, notoriously known for being the hardest wrestling camp in ever. So, oh, not ever, maybe, you know, the Hart Dungeon and stuff, but anyway, it's notoriously known as one of the toughest wrestling camps. And, you know, these young guys that come through, they really, really mind their manners. They really have open ears. They really have open eyes when these guys are around. And furthermore, after their matches, you know, these guys agent their matches. And, you know, not to break Case Faber or nothing, but when these guys come back from the curtain, these guys are telling them what they did right, what they did wrong, how they can improve, what to look for next time, how to react on this, how to do that, when to place that there, when to place it here. And, you know, it's just essential for growth. I mean, we are in a business, and wrestling is an art. And if you think you know everything, you're a fool. And, you know, we have a ground, we have an environment of learning, and it makes everybody better, and it makes everybody a family, and everybody helps out. I can tell you, we have never had a fight in our locker room. We have never had words in our locker room. Our locker room is built on respect, and it's the way it should be. It's the wrestling business that I love, and all my guys love it, and it's just a brilliant atmosphere, and it's something that is amazing to be a part of. And we bridge the gap from the new to the old, and that's the only way you can carry on the old school traditions and values, and it's the only way you can teach the young, and I think we do a really good job of it, so I'm really proud of that.
Before we let you go, we're actually against it. We're actually against it, Aaron. We're going to let Joey go. But before he does go, I wanted to let you know this Saturday, NWA Pro Wrestling Fusion, Wrestling for a Cause, presents Base Brawl 2010. If I remember it right, it's at the North Tampa Youth Baseball Sports Complex, 6800 North Rome Avenue in Tampa, Florida. $10 in advance through the WFC website, which I believe is wrestlingforacause.org.
That's correct. That's our nonprofit organization. We have a nonprofit organization that we do fundraisers for children. That's if on another interview we'll talk all about that. We'll also talk about Kazuchika Okada coming in from New Japan Pro Wrestling, who's also an NWA affiliate. This is his first appearance for Fusion on this show, and we're trying to build ties with Japan as well. And we're trying to do a good thing for the guys of Florida wrestling, and that's another story for another day.
That's right. ProWrestlingFusion.com is your website. Joey Machete, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. See you Saturday night, my friend.
All right. Take care, guys. Thank you so much.
888-357-9876. Option 2 is your number to call in, because our next guest, if you want to talk women's wrestling, this is the guy that you want to talk with. His name is Sean McCaffrey. He runs Women's Superstars Uncensored, who this Saturday is celebrating their third anniversary, and they've got some names that you will know as a fan. 888-357-9876. Option 2. I'm Alan Wojcik. That's Aaron Kendrick. This is OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with whenever they wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's worth away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho, Derek Bischoff,
Nick
Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating, but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
Option 2 is the number. Get on the line right now if you want to talk women's wrestling, because we have the owner of an amazing pro wrestling company that is celebrating their third anniversary this weekend in New Jersey and is celebrating their second year as a Hall of Fame for women. This is Sean McCaffrey, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Welcome. We're going to go right into something that we were going to talk about in the second hour, but I want to talk about it right off the top of the bat because the person I want to talk about had one of the most amazing feuds in USW history with Primetime Amy Lee, and she just, if you read it right, her Twitter account's saying she's gone, her PR people are saying, no, she's not gone. What's your feelings on the possibility that Awesome Kong just got let go from TNA Wrestling?
I don't know if it's 100% true or not, but if it is, it's great for a lot of independent promoters to play that.
Can you see her going to a WWE when her 90 days is up, or is she? You think she would strictly stay indie?
I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, I guess it's the WWE's call. I mean, they had the chance to sign Angelina Love back, and they didn't do that when Angelina was released. I guess it really depends on what they're looking for and what they like. I mean, look, Gail Kim went there, and what's done with her, you know?
For fans that aren't aware of it, as we just mentioned, you're celebrating your third anniversary show this Saturday, and we'll talk about the location of that in a couple minutes. Take us back in time 3 years. What were you doing, and what led to the creation of WSU?
That's like a loaded question.
God.
I was working with this other guy, Jack Sabbath. He was running this other company called WSU, but it was called Wrestling Superstars Unleashed. I wanted to do girl shows because I was booking for this other company called NWS, and we were doing women tournaments, and the women tournaments were very profitable, and I thought it was something we could try to do women shows full time. So he gave me the ball on that, so he ran a couple girl shows while he was doing the guy shows. Eventually he pulled out. He pulled out for our third show. He pulled out. We had 2 days to scramble up to find money to run the show, and I saved the show. We ran it, and then that was a show where Luna Vachon and Amy Lee beat the crap out of two green girls. It got us kind of notoriety for that, and then from there, the DVD sold, the money is coming into the company, so I decided to keep the company going full steam, or else it would have been shut down after the third show. So we just kept it going, and then we just started getting momentum as the years started coming by. We had a lot of great athletes come in, and we tried to do a lot of different things with the women, and we started to make a niche and a name for ourselves, and we've just been rolling on with that.
Have you found that in the 3 years that you've been in the business running WSU, because you're basically, with the exception of Nick Cataldo, who we'll talk about in a couple of minutes, you're basically putting out a 100% female product. Did you have in the initial shows find trouble drawing fans? And now that you're 3 years later, are you having a situation where you have to turn away people?
No, I think if we had that problem turning away people, I think everybody wants that problem. You just get a bigger building. I mean, that's basically it. You know, no one's turning people away, you know, at the independent scene, you know, or else you'd just be getting a bigger building to fill them all. But it is, you know, it's a niche product. I think for us, what we're trying to do with everything is we're just trying to show us, oh, it's just women's wrestling. We're trying to get away from that. We're trying to show these girls can wrestle like the guys and can put on entertaining stories, and you forget about what gender you're watching when you're watching these athletes, especially with, like, some of the people we have in our roster right now.
888-357-9876, option 2 is your number if you want to get on with Sean McCaffrey and talk some women's wrestling. You can also Skype in at WTR_Sunday Night, I believe it is. How did Missy Hyatt become involved in this product? Because if you ever go to WSUWrestling.com and buy one of the DVDs, she's on your commentary and is in your Hall of Fame. She went in last year with Malia Hasaka, if I got that last name right, I'm sorry, and the legendary sensational Sherry Martel. Talk about how Missy got involved with WSU.
It was just basically we called her one day, asked her if we want to try something new. Obviously, Missy did the ECW thing, and I didn't really want to do all the cat fights and flowing around the ring. I think that doesn't progress women's wrestling. We're trying to progress it and try to take it to a different level. So I said, I know she's always very outspoken, so we try to put her on the commentating booth. I mean, she did it for the last 2.5 years. We recently made a change because I think just like as any business, you evolve and you grow, and sometimes you need to just you need to get to the next level somehow. And I think Missy was great for us for the time we had her here.
Your heavyweight champion right now is someone fans may or may not know. Her name is Mercedes Martinez, and she's got a pretty good worker relationship with some of the promotions in the country because the WSU championship's been defended at Evolve. I think it's been defended at Dragon's Gate. I know it's been at ROH and FIP shows. What kind of working relationship does WSU have? Because you've got some TNA people working for you, like coming up on this show this Saturday. You've got SoCal Val coming in. You've got Tracy Brooks coming in. What's a working relationship like with these promotions?
As far as TNA, we have no problems with them. Basically, whatever we want for the show, we call them up, boom, boom, boom. We get it set. There's no problems. Actually, the guy who took over for Bill Barron in the booking office is somebody that broke into business with me at this around the same time. We both were bookers for this other company called USA Pro, so I know the guy there very well. Right now, we're working with a bunch of other companies on the East Coast. We don't work with Ring of Honor. We've been working with Dragon Gate USA. We've been working with Evolve, like as you mentioned. Basically, I think what we do is we offer something great for independent promotions out here. If you're an independent promoter, it's very hard to run women's wrestling angles on your shows because if you have 8 to 10 matches, that means you're going to need at least 2 matches to build up, you know, different feuds and angles, and like, it can get expensive, you know. At least with the WSU, I think we are all over the place. We got a pretty good buzz, and people, fans know our product, and we follow our product, and I think that we could just bring matches to other shows that have, you know, good storylines behind them and good angles behind them. People who actually, and they want to see these stories take place, have these characters that we've built up and invested in. It's a good business for them because they get to bring in something that has a fan base and bring new fans to their promotion. And for us, it's great because we get the video footage of the match, and it helps to get where our DVD-based business, so it helps us, so it works both ways, and anyone that wants to work with us, we work with, and I think we've been working right now currently with like 12 different promotions right now, so it's been a good time for us.
Yep. For those that aren't aware of it, on WSGWrestling.com, you can watch matches of stuff we're talking about, and also you can find out information about the third anniversary show, which is this Saturday at the Ace Arena, 25 Sixth Street on the second floor in Union City. One of the main events on that show is going to be your champion taking on the not-so-polite young lady named Rain. And you've also got, I believe, unless something's changed, your tag team champions used to hate the living daylights out of each other, being Mercedes Martinez and Angel Orsini. She's taking on Nikki Rocks. What's it like to have a love-hate relationship 1 minute with those two and now, and talk about those couple matches?
Well, we'll start with the easy stuff first. With Angel and Mercedes, they both trained together, and actually Angel helped train Mercedes and broke her into the business. They both started in WSU the same date as a tag team. As things progressed, you know, they both won the heavyweight title, and they both feuded over, and it got personal for a while. Towards the end, Rain stepped to her bounds with Angel, and Angel finally realized her true friendship with Mercedes, and they aligned together, and then they won a tag belt together. So, I mean, that story's been really fun to watch and see how it developed over the last 3 years. As far as the matches announced, we just announced it today that Nikki Rocks won't be there. We don't want to false advertise. She's not. Yeah, we don't want to false advertise. She's not going to be there. She was supposed to make her comeback to the wrestling ring for us on March 6th, but her ankle didn't heal up the way she wanted it to. Right now, she just got off a cane last week. She was supposed to be off a cane weeks ago. So she tried to practice this Sunday. Her ankle, she couldn't put any weight on it still. She couldn't really run on it. So, I mean, obviously in the wrestling business, we could have just done maybe a minute beat down or something like that. We don't want to cheat our fans, and we want to give something that's not 100%, and we want to give our best every time. So, Nikki, pulling herself off, and, we totally understand this, you know, she can't wrestle. She broke her ankle at TNA. But, she says she should be good for our April 2nd and April 3rd shows, and, as of right now, she's on those shows. So, well, Nikki Rocks back, and that might be her comeback to wrestling, because, like I said, she's still recovering from her broken ankle at TNA. And, just to move on to your last question, Mercedes Rain. That match has been built up for over a year. I think it's been built up for like 15 months now, and it's going to be crazy to see these two go at it finally for the first time ever. I mean, Rain is like the biggest bitch ever in women's wrestling. Someone who is like so conceited and someone who's been so driven to win the title, and finally all her efforts will go into this match, and Mercedes has been the fighting champion. I mean, you've got two people at the polar opposite ends of the spectrum, and it's going to finally collide, and it's going to come head-to-head on March 6th.
Let's bring it up real quick here. We mentioned the Hall of Fame. In the next few weeks, we're going to be having stuff involving the Cauliflower Alley Club and leading in the WWE's Hall of Fame. Talk about what led to the creation of your Hall of Fame and what made you choose this year's class of Dawn Marie, Molly Holly, and Jazz.
The creation is kind of simple. We're doing our anniversary show, and I didn't even think we'd even get to 1 year, you know. So when we got to 2 years, I thought it was kind of special. You don't really see a lot of full-time women wrestling companies. Yeah, I mean, you do see, I think there is a lot of women companies popping up, but they only really run, what, 2, 3, 4 times a year, where we're running, I think we put out 16 live shows last year, and I think we put out something like 20 DVDs last year, so I mean, we're full-time. So I think that's pretty kind of special. So I wanted to, put a hook for our anniversary show. I wanted to do something that you don't see at everyone's anniversary show, so I came up with the Hall of Fame idea as a way to honor some of the people that have paved the way for a lot of these girls. We went with Missy Hyatt because she has been with us for a 2-year anniversary show, so she was with us the whole entire time. So I want to help her, you know, honor her there. Amelia Sakas, someone's been in the business and paved the way, and it's just been an inspiration for many girls. So we want to honor her, and obviously Sharon Martel paved the way, and it was an inspiration for a lot of people. As far as this year's class, I mean, we just bought Jazz. Jazz made a comeback to WSU. Made a comeback to wrestling in WSU in December, and a lot of girls credit her with getting into wrestling business, and because they liked what she did, so we wanted to honor her work. With Molly Holly, Molly Holly's another one. The girls watch, and she again is someone else who showed that women's wrestling is not just pulling hair and running around in bikinis. You know, and Dawn Marie, I think, with all the work she's done for Wrestler's Rescue and standing up for herself with a lot of stuff, showing that she's strong, you know. I think she's an inspiration, and I think it's great to have these three to put on our Hall of Fame and just to do something special for our anniversary show as well.
What time does this what's the rundown on that show? Is it Hall of Fame first, then the card second? How does it work?
We actually have a mini convention from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock where fans can meet everybody on the show. So usually at our shows, a lot of fans want to talk to the girls and, to, you know, kill, it makes our intermissions go longer. So at least this way we could have all the people can meet their favorite wrestlers, get the pictures, get everything done. It's just a good way to have a nice meet and greet. We're going to take an hour break in between the convention, then we're going to come back with the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame will probably go an hour or so, and then after the Hall of Fame, we'll take a nice 10-15-minute break, and we'll kick off with the show.
That's this Saturday, the third anniversary show, the Ace Arena in Union City, New Jersey. Your next event, I believe, is the 2010 Women's J-Cup. What made you decide, as an entity, we want to have a women's tournament to rival the J-Cup or the Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup or the Ted Petty Invitational?
Well, the Women's J-Cup is the tournament that created WSU. If it wasn't for that tournament, there would be no WSU. That tournament is was started off with NWS, a company that I've helped booked with the partners there. Then we tried out doing a women's tournament back in 2006. That DVD was very profitable, which made me come up with the idea to do WSU on a full-time basis. So the J-Cup is very important to me, and I think it's a way to build up a new star in WSU and build up a star in women's wrestling. So it should be interesting. I enjoy watching that show every year, and as far as the J-Cup name, it's just a name that was taken over from NWS from another promoter here. It's just New Jersey indie wrestling politics that no one really, I don't think, cares about too much, so we're not going to go into it. But it's just, you know, just it's just a name. But there's the tournament itself. It's great to see, and every year it's always been exciting.
We got one more question for you before we let you go. Got a fan named Scott who just IM'd in, wants to know, you've been running in Jersey pretty much the whole existence. Do you see yourself crossing the river and going into New York at any time soon?
Probably not, because it's a financial decision. To run in New York, it's going to cost us anywhere from $3,000 to $3,500 to run, because you got to pay commission fees, you got to pay doctor fees, the buildings are more expensive. It's just a lot more fees for us. Most of our business. The reason we're in business, to stay in business, is through DVD sales and footage sales. So for us to run in New York as an ego boost, it wouldn't really make sense. Right now we're profitable in New Jersey, so I don't think you should change something that's not broken. So we're happy with Jersey, and we're happy where we're running right now. We're actually, we got a new building we're running in at the Ace Arena, and this place looks like a modernized TBS Studios. It's just amazing. They got the big Titantrons there. It's just an amazing building to watch wrestling, and it really translates well on DVD. So I think for our production, which is our number one priority, I think it's just going to step up our game 1,000,000%.
All right, fans, check it out, www.wsuwrestling.com this Saturday if you're in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, tri-state area. Got to sound like a car commercial from when I lived up there. Thank you very much, Sean McCaffrey, for your time.
Hey, Al, thanks a lot, and good luck with the show.
All righty. 888-357-9876, option 2. Get on there right now, because we're in hour number 2. I'm sorry, Aaron Kendrick just kind of like fell asleep there, but, dude, we're going to talk TNA news, which we got it. We talked about it with Sean a little bit. We talked about it with Joey a little bit. Let's talk truth or rumor. Did Awesome Kong get released? What do your sources tell you, dude? Because mine are just kind of sitting there going, yeah.
Dude, I kind of lost it out on all this whenever all the stuff with Bubba went down. So
that's what she got. For those that don't know about it, I'm living in the Tampa Bay market for Bubba Love Sponge Radio, and I don't listen, and he probably doesn't care because he doesn't listen to us. And if he is listening to us, hey, Todd. Rumor going around is that she got crank called, and I believe it was 5-something in the morning by someone who said she was with the Bubba Radio Network. He wasn't. They crank called her on the air. He's got documentation saying he did it. I mean, how much, if you're a wrestler, how much crap are you going to put up with from this guy who's not a wrestler, who anytime he gets in a ring, when he used to do the Bubba the Love Sponge radio show on the local New York, local Tampa markets, he's Hulk Hogan's buddy. And don't worry, we're going to talk about the Immortal Bald Spot in a minute or two, folks, because he's not getting off the hook here. I mean, this is a guy who's not a wrestling business person. I've been covering wrestling for 10 years, and anytime somebody has called me up and said, dude, so-and-so's on the Bubba Love Sponge radio show, I don't want to listen to this guy do a wrestling interview. It's like anyone that did an interview with a wrestler after Chris Benoit passed away, like Nancy Grace, Greta Van Susteren. If you don't know the business, don't talk the business on the air. I mean, what are your thoughts on this, fans? 888-357-9876, option 2. I love talking to Aaron. I love hearing the sound of my own voice. Actually, no, I can't stand it. But we want to hear from you guys. You guys is it. It is the last official Impact, because why, for the grace of God, do I know they're going to be going head-to-head this Monday night with WWE Monday Night Raw. And it's already been announced this Monday night, someone who said he would never get in the ring. He can't get in the ring. I physically can't get in the ring, brother. He's going to wrestle this Monday night with the Monster Abyss as his tag partner, taking on the World Heavyweight Champion, the phenomenal AJ Styles, and Nature Boy Ric Flair. Is this being done on TV so the pay-per-view fans, Aaron, aren't sitting there going, God, I just paid $30 to watch this match? Or are you thinking this is a mistake, you should have saved this match for pay-per-view?
Well, for one, I don't think it should even go down. Because Hogan is obviously, you know, he can't walk into a movie theater without, you know, nearly having a Bret Hart incident, having a stroke. And Ric Flair, you know, he's being disrespectful to Shawn Michaels by stepping into the ring. That kind of makes me mad. As a fan of Shawn Michaels, you know, I didn't have a lot of respect for Ric Flair because of all the stories I've heard and everything. I don't really like him all that much. But, you know, after this, you know, that just kind of, you know, what actual love does he have for the business now that he's doing this and turning back on his retirement? He's going to become a wrestling tragedy because his body can't, he's looked like an 80-year-old man for the past 20 years. And he's obviously for about the past 20 years been in great shape on the inside. He has fantastic stamina. But can he actually do this, you know?
That's the big question. I mean, I am not ashamed to say it. I am a Ric Flair mark. Ric Flair, growing up in the 80s and into the 90s, was my world heavyweight champion. Whoever held the WWF at the time championship, unless it was Bret Hart, it was secondary to me. You weren't Ric Flair, man. You couldn't carry it. He's a 60-minute man. Now I'm sitting there watching Nitro. It feels like Nitro. Sitting there watching TNA Impact this last Thursday night, and my wife kind of walked in and walked out of the room, and she's going like, he's really going to wrestle? I go, uh-huh. It's like, and he just watching Hogan come down the rampway to do that segment, it was just heartbreaking. I mean, he's going against everything he said in his interviews. He said after the Australia tour, I can't do it, brother. It was an embarrassment. Yet he's possibly going to go out on national television to pop the ratings like WCW used to do, instead of doing what they should have done back in the day with Goldberg getting the belt off of Hogan. Why didn't you put this match on pay-per-view? Put it on, I think this is Destination X. Yes, Destination X is the March pay-per-view. Why not do that? I mean, is there something wrong here? I know I'm not Eric Bischoff. I certainly know I'm not Vince Russo. But, I mean, you got to be sitting there going, you just sent millions of dollars out the window by putting this match on TV to hotshot in to WWE's programming.
They're going to do the match. Personally, as crazy as this might sound now, I would wait and put this match on the lockdown pay-per-view in a steel cage match. Because,
absolutely.
Now, hear me out on this. Hear me out on
this. Sure, Joe. You got the floor, my man.
A steel cage match is genuinely easier to perform because once you're trapped inside that ring, you're limited on what all you can do. You know, sure, they're going to hit the cage a couple times, but, I mean, what physical toll is that going to actually take on your body? You know, it's got to be genuinely easier for someone like Hogan or Flair to pull off. So that's what I would do, is I would wait and put a match like this inside a steel cage.
And plus, that would make it that much more, quote-unquote, legendary, if that's what they're going for.
888-357-9976, hit option 2, or you can, it's WTR underscore Sunday night. If you want to Skype in with Aaron and I here, we are talking TNA wrestling for the next few minutes before we go to a break. We're not going to the break yet. Calm down, everybody out there going like, dude, I just clogged in, damn. And it just seems really weird. I know I'm going back to something that I talked about with you and Nick a couple weeks ago. This is the kid who was, you know, the big man on campus in the eighth grade, and now he's a freshman in high school, thinking, yeah, I'm the man, I'm going to go up and challenge the big bully who's a senior year person. That's kind of what this feels like. Oh, I've said it again, and I used to be considered a TNA apologist by people all over the internet, and obviously I'm not anymore because I'm very angry. Why are you going head-to-head with these guys? Stay on your Thursday night. It's not, and I'm not mad about the market being split or anything like that, Aaron. I'm more mad about the fact that, you know, I understand the whole argument, oh, it creates competition. Well, Vince has been creating his own competition by having Raw and SmackDown. Why didn't TNA just create a secondary show and go that way? You need to just focus on your current product. Your current product is run out of a building in Orlando that I have been to countless times. Listeners that have been there can call in to 888-357-9976 option 2 and talk about the quote-unquote impact zone. Just look at what's on WWE TV right now. The next show is NXT is live in a building that's doing the SmackDown TV taping. Last night they had 15,000 where they ran, I think it was Oklahoma City that did Monday Night Raw in. TNA Wrestling's not drawing that at shows. They're drawing Ring of Honor-like numbers, which for Ring of Honor may be great, but for a promotion that's got Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Sting, all these legends and all these young talent in there, what are you thinking, Aaron? Are you thinking the same way I am, or are you disagreeing with me on this?
Well, judging by the numbers that they got in the recent European tour, I don't see any reason why they're not trying to get into the bigger arenas. You know, maybe it is because they don't draw as well in the States. I don't know. I'm not on the marketing slash business end of the TNA. But, you know, if I was promoting for a match like this, I would look into a bigger arena. Or at least, you know, they like to do the polls on the website. I would at least put a poll on the internet asking the fans if you would go to this event, and judging by how many people answer, then I would be able to see, you know, if that would work. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's been the problem for the last couple of years. As I said, I've been covering TNA from 2002 to 2007. In 2005, they took Bound for Glory out of town to Detroit, and then slowly started doing the pay-per-views out of town. But they were going to the New York area, but not running in the New York area. Or they were going to L.A., but they weren't running the Staples Center. That seems to be the issue right now. I mean, we'll see when we come around Monday night next Tuesday, because it's not 100% sure if we're going to go live Monday night or not. That's a Nick Anthony question. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. We're going to take a break here because in the next segment, it's going to be it's going to be Aaron Kendrick time, because we're going to talk match of the week. 888-357-9876, option 2, get on board with us here at OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. Clickwrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Ken Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
Come on, feel the noise. Girls, rock your boys. We'll get wild, wild, wild.
you have a certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talkie Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Seven 9 8 7 6 option 2 is our number. OWW Radio, I'm Alan Wojcik, and in a moment you're going to hear Aaron Kendrick talk and talk and talk about something he knows about, which is the match of the week. But I want to let everybody know that if you miss us at the top of the hour, at 10:30 we are scheduled to have Rhett Titus, but he had some personal issues with family. His young son's been ill today, something with a stomach ache at school. We feel really bad for him at OWW Radio. So if we don't get Red at 10:30, we apologize in advance. We'll move on like no. But right now, it is Match of the Week time with your man and mine, Aaron Kendrick.
OWW Radio.
Okay, Alan, Match of the Week, if you have any candidates or suggestions, you can send Match of the Week to radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. And also, if you don't get enough on the show, you can go to wildtalkradio.com and catch my MOTW on WTR weekly column. So, let's get right into it with the first runner-up for Monday Night Raw. Now, it was Yoshitatsu, Evan Bourne, and Kofi Kingston against Orton, Rhodes, and DiBiase. Now, this one almost got Match of the Week. I really enjoyed it for the most part. This one had a lot of psychology. It was all centered around the breakup of Legacy. The ending really overshadowed everything, though, and that's not a good thing in my book. Everything in the match needs to be memorable, as memorable as it can. When Orton DDT'd Cody and RKO and DiBiase, no one even paid much attention to the shooting star press by Bourne. That was not such a great thing. But, you know, the match itself was good. Just not good enough to get Match of the Week. The next runner-up was the X Division number one contenders match on Impact with Kazarian and Brian Kendrick. Now, since Kaz's leave of absence, he has really impressed me in the return. Kaz is a very unique offense, if you notice, and I like watching it. Kaz likes to use leg drops, and he used a very nice spring over leg drop on Kendrick. Unfortunately, though, the only other very impressive move in the match was the top rope backflip Uranagi for the finish. Psychology was, of course, all centered around Kaz and seeing if he was rusty at all. Obviously not quite Match of the Week quality, but not exactly a squashy match either. Final runner-up of the week comes from Friday Night SmackDown. It was a Money in the Bank ladder match qualifying, and
it was R-Truth against John Morrison against Dolph Ziggler. Now, this one was impressive. I'm a big fan of all three men in the match because I know that they can deliver. Now, going in, I was secretly hoping that Ziggler would win, and I was ecstatic whenever he did because I'm a pretty big Ziggler mark. And the match had good spots at the finish. Other than that, though, not much was happening. They should have capitalized on Morrison's injury. Now, if you caught my column last week, I really went on a little rant about this because for 2 weeks in a row, they made the matches end in no contest over the same crappy thing. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of that, but this week, you know, if they could have capitalized on it by having one of the wrestlers go after the injury, that would have made a lot more sense and added to the psychology. But, you know, since he was missing this, I have to count off quite a bit. All right, now, those were the three runner-ups. There was not much going on Ring of Honor. Sorry to say that. Last week the Bucks almost got in with their tag team title match. This week not much was going on Ring of Honor. So let's get right into match of the week this week, which comes from the new generation of WWE programming, NXT. Believe it or not, Alan, and I know this is hard to believe, but it is not the 1 minute and 20 second match with David Otunga and Darren Young.
Damn.
It is in fact Chris Jericho and the Dragon American, Daniel Bryan. Now let's check this one out. Build up. Much like last week, build up was different. For the past month, every time you blink, you see yet another NXT commercial. They have been building this up constantly. When the show went on the air Tuesday, they immediately started building something up for Bryan and The Miz. Let's go on down to psychology. If nothing can be perfect, the psychology here was the next best thing. I can say that about it. The psychology here was that Bryan was trying to prove that he had what it took to be a WWE superstar. Jericho's psychology was that he was trying to prove that he was the best in the world. And don't that phrase remind you of some indie guy in violet red tights?
Not really.
Yeah. One last thing was how, to my surprise, they really put him over as a king of the indies. You know, they really made reference to a lot of the stuff he's done in Ring of Honor. They just, you know, they obviously can't mention Ring of Honor. Moving on down, let's go to one of the most important parts, delivery. Now, this one made me an instant fan of NXT. And I'm going to be honest. I never expected WWE to get Bryan over like they did. Bryan in 7 minutes probably got more over than every 90-minute match that he's ever had. Now, let's quit blabbing and go over some spots. It started off as more of a fight. There were drop kicks, soccer kicks, and everything in between. I also really liked the submissions at the end with the modified ankle lock and Walls of Jericho. And I really got the fans behind Bryan. The move of the week was, of course, the suicide dive that everyone was talking about. Bryan ran full speed and executed the dive. And I've studied this time and time over, and I've come to the conclusion that Jericho caught Bryan, spun him around, and almost hit like a modified power slam on the announce table, causing instant bruising. Now, I think this earned everyone's respect, and it earned a special spot in the Match of the Week archives. So, that is Match of the Week for the week of February 22nd, 2010. You know, as always, questions and comments about Match of the Week can be emailed to radio@onlineworldwrestling.com. Or, if you're a Genesis member, you can private message me on the forums. And like I mentioned at the top of the segment, if you didn't get enough, go to wildtalkradio.com and check out my Match of the Week on WTR weekly column. And hey, you know, there's no reason not to hear us. So check us out.
That was pretty awesome, man. If you think he's wrong, do what he said. Go to his page. Call him a dumbass. Call him a smart guy. Call him something, because we call him one of our correspondents here. 888-357-9876, hit option 2. We are going to go to break here and hope when we come back from break, we will be talking with Addicted to Love, Rhett Titus. If not, we will go back into the news pile. There is some stuff that's happened, such as the toxicology results on the recent passing of Eddie Umaga Fatu. We'll get into that. We'll get back into more. NXT's on right now, and it looks like you're going to get Wade Barrett versus Daniel Bryan. Give us a call, 888-357-9876, option 2, or Skype WTR Sunday night. This is OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bluxest, All Time Polls, What If, Pharaoh Foul, even a e-fed called Takedown. More? Okay. OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay. You'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forum. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slumber knocker.
Hey, this is the Spud Guy, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern as we get an in-depth with the world of wrestling. And as always, you can find me there, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hit that option 2, WTR Sunday night. If you're on Skype, I'm Alan Wojcik with Aaron Kendrick here on OWW Radio. As we mentioned at the top of the hour, and I've been talking about it for the last few minutes, we're waiting on Addicted to Love, Rhett Titus, to call in, but he's had some family issue today. His young son has been sick, and we wish him the best. So if Rhett can join us, great. If not, we'll keep going on. And while we wait for Rhett, we're going to talk some wrestling news this past couple days. Unfortunately, for fans that are obviously aware of it, former WWE and TNA star Eddie Fatu worked as Umaga, had passed away after the Hulkamania tour, and unfortunately the toxicology results did come back that he passed away from acute toxicity to 3 different medications that were in his system. I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on TV, so I had to actually look and find out what these pills were. He had hydrocodone in his system, which is translated into Vicodin, which is a painkiller. He had Soma, which is a muscle relaxer, and also had Valium for anxiety. I can't be a psychiatrist, psychologist. Maybe Aaron has a degree. I don't know if he does. But it's just sad to unfortunately have to talk about stuff like this. I'm 35 years old, and half the wrestlers from my generation before me in the 80s, a lot of them are still around. And unfortunately, wrestlers that started in the 90s, unfortunately, Umaga happens to be one of them. I mean, what are your thoughts on hearing stuff like this, Aaron? Does it make you go, man, will these guys understand pills kill? Or are you just saying, well, feeling like the average fan going, I feel really bad for him and his family?
Well, you know, I'm leaning more towards the second one. You know, over the past few years, I've read a few books. You know, I've read Eddie Guerrero's autobiography. I've read Jericho's and Bret Hart's. And reading through Eddie Guerrero's book, you know, learning about all of his demons and stuff, I learned from reading his book that, you know, painkillers and all these meds and drugs, that's, you know, it's not good. So, you know, that reading his stuff really scared me away from all of it. And I know that I would never do anything like that. And, you know, it's scary for me because I know that that's a widely common thing in wrestling. And, you know, you can look at certain people. You know, I often tell Nick Anthony that you can throw a dart at the WWE roster and chances are it's going to land on someone who's taking some kind of meds. And it's a scary thing, and I feel bad for them. You know, honestly, yeah. As a human, I feel bad for the people doing it.
Yeah, I do, too. And if people that are listening in going, like, but, dude, you're ripping this guy because he was out making a living for his family, I hope people don't call in to 888-357-9876 option 2 and call me a jerk. But as Joey mentioned, I'm a PR person for Pro Wrestling Fusion. I've covered TNA for 5 years. And in the 10 years that I've been covering wrestling, the one thing I dread every day when I go to look at other companies' websites, including OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, is, oh man, somebody passed away. Oh God, somebody else passed away. It looks like Tim Stein says we've got a caller on the air. Welcome to OWW Radio.
Hi. I'm here to talk. Talk about Kofi Kingston.
Sure, we can talk Kofi. He's one of the hottest WWE stars today. What are your thoughts on Kofi?
There's only one hotter wrestler in all of wrestling today besides Kofi Kingston. But there's only one.
Who could that possibly be then? Who's hotter than Kofi right now? Tell me.
Addicted to love, Red Titus.
Oh my God, he's a prankster. Damn, he's a prankster. I can't stand when he does that crap. Tim Stein, you're not a nice man. First of all, before we go into the interview, how's your little guy doing? Because I saw on your Facebook page he wasn't feeling too good.
Oh yeah, he's better now. He's better now. He, you know, what a morning that was. Puke all over the floor, cleaning up. But once he, you know, spelled the vomit out, he was good after that.
Yeah, like I posted on your Facebook page, I have a wife who's a patient care technician and a CNA. She can handle gunshot wounds. She can handle guy defecating all over himself. As soon as my 7-year-old or my 15-month-old yak, it's honey. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah, there are producers on the show that were super excited when they were like, you know Red Titus? I go, hell yeah, I know Red Titus. Red Titus was a part of the 2008 Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup, and he's a super-duper star in Ring of Honor and a mega friend.
Yeah, I am.
You want to get on the line with Red Titus right now, get in, 888-357-9876, hit option 2, and you're in. Fans are watching the NXT show, and I don't know if you are or not. One of the people that's on NXT had a little bit of a hand in training Mr. Addicted to Love, Red Titus. Talk about how you became a part of the ROH training school and your feelings on the former Bryan Danielson.
Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, I'm very happy for him. He's doing very well for himself. When I first started training with him, you know, you know, he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, you know. Well, I don't think he really liked me, you know, but, you know, it's whatever. I learned some stuff from him, you know. Finally got to do battle with him, you know, and at that point, you know, I knew a little bit more than I knew when Brian was training me. So, you know, I got to get my licks in on the guy. But, you know, he seems to be doing pretty well for himself. So, you know, you got to keep him in good spirits because you never know when you're going to need a favor.
888-357-9876 at option 2 or Skype us on WTR Sunday night. For fans that aren't aware of it, I mean,
wrestling fans on Skype? Ugh. Oh, that's a horrible thought. All these ugly wrestling fans going on Skype. They got to stay behind the computer. Don't put them in front of the camera.
We don't get their pictures. We don't get anything like that. They call in audio style. For fans that aren't aware of you trained for a couple of years with Ring of Honor and did tons and tons of dark matches while you were also down here with what was their affiliate, Full Impact Pro. Talk about the experience of how long, I mean, were you sitting there at some point going, you know, I'm ready to be on these DVDs and eventually pay-per-view. Was it something that Gabe and Carrie were sitting there, and I guess Larry Sweeney was the booker at the time, were they sitting there going, kid, you're going to get a chance, wait for it, or are they sitting there going, well, maybe we need to put him on because he's getting over the crowd?
One day after a pre-show, you know, Gabe had come up to me and he said, you should go train for the WWE. And I didn't know how to take it. I didn't know how to take it. Like, just like, is he trying to talk to me like, you know, oh, you know, maybe I'm good enough for the WWE? Or is he like saying that, you know, I don't belong here. I don't fit. So, you know, I was very dishumbled, you know, and, it's a funny story actually about it because I remember exactly, what happened. It was about, May, Ring of Honor show in May of, I want to say, 07 or 08, one of those. I was in Boston, and I was on the pre-show that night, and I got a new outfit, you know. This is the first night I got the white vest and the white bow tie. And I looked over at Mitch Franklin, he's still Mitch Franklin at the time, and I go, brother, if this bow tie don't get me on the main show, I don't know what will. And, I think that was one of my last pre-shows right there. And from there on, I don't know, the bow tie just gave me this new sort of confidence. And I don't know, from that point on, I wasn't used very much on the pre-show or in dark matches.
You know, you have a very, I gotta say, I love your gimmick. And you're one of those gimmicks that just, you're just one of those gimmicks that really just kind of sticks out. So if you could, just who were some of your influences whenever you were trying to get into
that? I don't know. I watch a lot of as much old stuff as I can, you know. I'm really big into Michael Hayes and Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin, if you can't tell, you know. Another one of my influences is obviously Rick Rude. And, you know, they said every good character takes, like, five things from five other characters and kind of creates their own, you know, so you got to kind of look around and see, you know, what you want to take from other people and, you know, kind of make something into your own, you know, so, you know, that's what Addicted to Love is, you know, it's a mixture of things that brings out the truer inner personality of me to a more amount of people, you know what I'm saying?
888-357-9876 hit option 2 if you want to get on with the man known as Addicted to Love, Rhett Titus, whose character is so egotistical, as I found out when I did my 2008 Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup interview with him. He went and added his name to Robert Palmer's superstar hit Addicted to Love. Was that something that you just decided, was that something ROH decided to do? Was that something you did? How'd that happen?
One day, Gabe just kind of had, like, this vision for the song, you know, and, he was saying how he wanted, like, girls, like, screaming Rhett Titus after every time it said Addicted to Love. But, at the time we couldn't find no girls, but, Adam Pearce was nearby, and he did a, a great rat Titus. So, you know, a lot of people always wondered what that was, and there it is. But, you know, I really like
that. I always thought that was you.
For a long time. No, actually it was not. But, you know, Adam did a good job on it. And, I always liked that music. You know, now even though I got my own, you know, custom music by Kid Russell and the Ghost Tones. That's KIDDRUSSELL, Kid Russell. I still kind of miss that music sometimes, you know, just had that, you know, but, you know, my new music has, like, you know, an extra sleaze factor to it, because, you know, it's all about me, you know. It's funny, though, because my son asked me, like, Dad, well, you know, why don't you come out to your old song anymore? And I'm like, you know, I had to explain it to him, you know, the whole copyright thing, but, you know, maybe one day somewhere I might bust out the old music. But usually if I don't have my music, I just wind up singing it, so, you know.
Oh, you're going to the ring, you're singing it, really?
Yeah, you know, if I show up at an indie show and I forget my music, you know, you might get lucky and see me perform the song that night.
You mentioned your son. What is his involvement with you in the business? Does he go to shows with you? Is he smart to the business? Or is he just like, yeah, my dad's a wrestler, so what?
I mean, he thinks it's cool that I'm a wrestler, you know, but he, you know, he still likes John Cena more. But, he thinks it's cool when he sees me on the, you know, TV or whatnot. But, you know, he's gone to a few shows. You know, he can't really, after, like, my match, you know, he's pretty much ready to go. And, you know, I always got stuff to do. So if, like, a family member can bring him or whatnot, cool, you know, but I don't really want to, you know, bring him there because, you know, then I got to, you know, worry about him the whole time. And, you know, the wrestling locker room isn't exactly the best place to let your little kid go loose. So, you know.
888-357-9877, kid option 2 if you want to get on with Addicted to Love, Rhett Titus. Let's talk some ROH here. What, you were a part of the company when Gabe Sapolsky was running things, and then next thing you know, Gabe is gone. And the next thing you know, Larry Sweeney is gone, and Adam Pearce is involved. What was the locker room reaction and your reaction when you got told, so, yeah, Gabe's gone? Move forward.
I mean, there's always, like, that sense, like, oh, man, like, you know, like, am I still gonna, like, you know, have a job? Like, what's gonna happen? You know what I mean? Like, no one knew what was gonna happen, and then, we got the word that Pierce was there, and, you know, it's cool, you know, it's different, cause, you know, Pierce is, you know, a wrestler, he's been in the ring and whatnot, and, you know, it was a different change of pace, and, you know, it's Ring of Honor needed it, though, you know? And, you know, Adam's been doing a good job for the past year, a little over a year, I guess. And, you know, Gabe was doing a good job as well. And just sucks that, you know, Gabe had to go in order for Adam to come along. But I guess it's just business, you know.
For fans that don't watch ROH TV on HDNet, which, I mean, I'm surprised when I did my research on it, it's been on for a year. What is Cornette's role backstage? Because I believe he's on stage as a commissioner or a matchmaker or something, but is Jim someone that you can approach and say, I'm stuck on something with this match, can you help me out? Or is he, go away, leave me alone, I'm Jim Cornette?
He's probably the greatest mind to come through Ring of Honor and be as helpful as he has been. Everybody else, you know, most people, you know, just kind of, you know, come in, do their thing, and get on their way, but a few people have, you know, really helped out, and Jim Cornette is one of those guys, and, you know, he just loves the product, he just loves wrestling, he's a very, very informative guy. Just to, you know, have a 5-minute conversation with him, you walk away, you know, thinking about things differently, or knowing something you didn't know before, and he's just that guy. He can, you know, just make things a lot better. You know, he's got a great mind for wrestling, and he's been very helpful so far. And I hope you can attempt to be helpful.
RRHWrestling.com is the place to find out all the info about this coming weekend's events. Back-to-back shows in Philadelphia at what I guess was formerly the ECW Arena. Since have you gotten any more indie bookings outside of ROH before you signed a contract? And when that came across the wire as a fan of yours and having met you a while ago at the Peterson and at FIP events, I was like, yeah, cool. Wait a minute. What's a contract with ROH exactly, Rhett?
I mean, it's not good. I have been doing indie bookings for, you know, my whole career. But the thing with the contract is, you won't have to worry about me going to WWE or TNA anytime soon. You know, I'm signed with Ring of Honor to stay exclusive to them. You know, but if, you know, let's say Joe Schmo in Oklahoma wants to use Rhett Titus on a show, that would be no problem. You know, I'm still very active, taking in bookings all the time. Just got back from North Carolina this weekend, and that was an experience. I ran I rode a mechanical bull for the first time, but yeah. But you know, I'm still taking bookings, and you know, the contract just you know, has a few perks to it, and it's you know, it should be good for everybody.
Are you someone that sits at home on a night like tonight or Thursday night and watches Monday Night Raw and Impact and tries to learn from the business? Or are you someone that's just like, if I'm not wrestling, I'm not watching it?
I'm not going to sit down and watch Impact or Raw per se. I got WWE 24/7, so I always check that out first, you know, and see what's on there. And I got a library full of like videotapes. You know, we have videotapes. I never convert them over to DVD, but I got a library full of videotapes. And you know, I got a bunch of DVDs too that, you know, I'm always watching. So it's not like I enjoy watching myself wrestle. You know, don't get me wrong, but you know, I'd rather sit there and watch something else. Like, you know, watch some old wrestling, you know, like, you know, I'm a big fan of, like, the NWA and World Class and whatnot, so whenever that stuff pops up on, you know, 24/7, I'm all over it.
888-357-9876, option 2, this is Addictable Everett Titus joining myself, Alan Wojcik, and Aaron Kendrick here. I'm excited that he's here because we were sitting there for a little while going, he's not coming. The kid, I understand as a parent, his son's more important. Since we're on the topic of ROH, this may get me some heat from some people. This may not. I don't care. I don't want you to be a company man. I'm just asking as someone who's been in the business for years, sitting here right now. Do you feel on paper and as a product itself, Ring of Honor is a better promotion than TNA Wrestling? And if ROH had a deal on Spike TV or another network that's everywhere, and I'm not saying HDNet is a bad place to be, but do you think you could compete on a national level? Because I know from people talking to people, the pay-per-view stuff didn't go the way that Gabe and everybody wanted it to do. Do you think ROH could become the number 2 promotion or number 2A with TNA? Or do you think they're already there right now?
I definitely think Ring of Honor could, you know, do some great things. I just think that, you know, TNA has a very larger audience because of, you know, Spike TV and whatnot. It's, you know, more popular than HDNet. But Ring of Honor, they get, you know, like, get a, you know, get a syndicated deal of some sort, you know, like, you know, sky's the limit. But, you know, that's not going on right now, and, you know, TNA has a lot more money to play around with. That's why, you know, they get, you know, all the big-name stars. But, you know, like, what's the point of having all these big-name stars if, you know, you're only going to get to see them wrestle for a minute and 30 seconds? You know, you watch Ring of Honor on HDNet, and you watch TNA, and, you know, what do people really want to see when they're watching? You know, they want to see the wrestling.
and there's practically no wrestling on TNA. But Ring of Honor this past week, there was, you know, it was boom, 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 boom. I believe there's 5 matches on there. But, everything was going towards something, and it's not just like something that you're going to want to be told that you don't remember this, what happened 3 weeks ago on TNA, but we're going to just go a completely different route now. You forgot about that. You know, a lot of TNA's flaws, there's a lot of holes. They don't continue with a lot of things they go forward with, and there's not much time really spent on wrestling. And I think if, Ring of Honor presents itself as a lot more competitive product that wrestling promotions are trying to convert, like, MMA fans over to wrestling fans now, I think that Ring of Honor would be a lot more successful at getting mixed martial arts fans to watch than TNA would be, because a mixed martial arts fan would just be like, Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair, how they're older than my dad, or something like that. Whereas, they'll be watching, Ring of Honor, and they'll be like, who's this Red Titus? Who's this Roderick Strong? Who's Kenny King, Austin Aries, and they don't know as much about the people, but, if we can go out there and keep their attention long enough, they'll want to come back and see more.
You watch ROH on a regular basis, Aaron. What do you think of my question? Do you think that ROH, and is Rhett right? Is ROH something that is, are they the true alternative to WWE, Aaron?
If Ring of Honor had a bigger budget, then I wouldn't see any reason why Ring of Honor could not be up there getting higher ratings than TNA. And that's just the key right there, the budget. Ring of Honor's always been an indie promotion, and indie promotions just don't gross in that much money. And, the quality of wrestling that Ring of Honor brings with people such as yourself, Rhett, it's just 5-star. I mean, it takes me back. Not really takes me back. I'm 15, but, it's got the quality of, early 90s, late 80s, NWA, WCW, and, all that stuff. And a lot of people like seeing that kind of thing. And, if only they had the budget, then I believe they could be up there.
I don't even think it's so much of a budget thing, because, the wrestlers that they have right now, or that we have right now, I think we could definitely deal with the wrestlers. It's just about getting more people to find out about it, like the budget, yeah. Not necessarily to pay the wrestlers more money or whatnot, or bring in bigger names like Miss Kim Kennedy or something, I think it's just more of a budget thing about marketing and, promotion and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
ROHWrestling.com is the website that you can find all the information out about Addicted to Love, Red Tide. I got to plug some stuff. I'm plugging, baby. I can plug. Do you have a website these days?
No, but I just joined Twitter like 4 days ago. So it's twitter.com/itsRhettTitus. ITSRHETTITUS. Just joined, so I'm still learning it, trying to figure it out a little bit. So,
how many people find you on Facebook?
Too many, at first, when Facebook first came around, I was just like, it's just another place to network, but then it kind of became like more of a personal thing, I'll put Facebook status up, going to the gym, and, I'll get somebody, I have no idea who it is, and they're like, thrusters of us, thrust away at the gym, go ahead, have a good time, ski, woo! And, it's just like, And it's just like, all right. So now I'm doing the Twitter thing. You know, I'd like for more, you know, fans and stuff to find me on Twitter and kind of try to keep my Facebook a little more personal.
Speaking of personal, unfortunately, the situation, I don't know how much you can talk about it or not, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. I've met him a few times at Full Impact Pro, and he won the 2009 Jeff Peters Memorial Cup. What are your thoughts on something like the situation that should have been private with Davey Richards and Ring of Honor, Dragon's Gate and Evolve, becoming public? Do you think that should never have hit the internet? Or are you sitting there going, wow, okay, I don't know if I want to be in the same locker room as this guy?
I think it sucks, you know, for Davey that his business got aired out like that. It's, you know, it shouldn't have happened, but it's going to happen when, you know, you got, you know, angry people or, you know, people just talking about it. And people talk about it, you know, then you got people who dig deeper about it and find out more stuff. And somehow a, you know, personal email got in there, and, you know, it just got out of control, you know, and really sucks to see it happen. You know, it even, you know, went as far as to say how much money he gets paid, and, you know, people don't need to know, like, you know, his personal business, and, you know, it sucks for Davey real bad, you know, because, you know, he was trying to be good to both, but, to both companies, but in the end, it just wasn't going to work out like that. But, you know, I'm glad, and, you know, Davey's with Ring of Honor. He's a, you know, great athlete. He's a good addition to the roster.
This has been your time with Addicted to Love, Red Titus. I'm sorry nobody called in, man. I guess maybe they're intimidated by your addictive to loveness, but we are so appreciative that you're able to take time out to be with us here on OWW Radio. Are you a part of the two shows this weekend in Philly?
Yes, I'll be there. I don't know why, you know, I'm not listed, but I'll be there. Don't you worry. I don't know who I'm wrestling yet, but, you know, I'm bound to go up there and thrust on somebody.
We are very appreciative you're able to take some time with us. Find him on Facebook. Find him on Twitter. Find him everywhere. He's Addicted to Love, Rhett Titus. Thank you so much for taking time, Rhett.
Alright, no problem.
In case you're wondering, man, where's Nick Anthony? He's on his own little personal assignment. He may or may not be back here next week. Next week, I can confirm already, we're going to have, since we talked ROH with this gentleman, and we talked Evolve, we talked Dragon's Gate, we're going to have the one man who's been the voice of those companies for the last few years. He's done ROH pay-per-view and TV, or in Gazoo TV, he got pushed out of that slot. He is the voice of Dragon's Gate, and he is the voice of Evolve Wrestling. He is Lenny Leonard. He will be here next week. I want to thank Aaron Kendrick for being the most awesome co-host ever.
Well, you know, what can I say? Hey, you've been great. You've been great the past couple of weeks. You have really adapted, and I'm proud to be working with you, Alan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you to Tim Stein. Thank you to Scott. Thank you to Corey. Thank you to every single human being that's ever been in the wrestling business. Because if it weren't for you, we wouldn't be here. I want to thank you all. OWW Radio. You can go to OWWRadio.through OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Wild Talk Radio has been our producers for this event. They got a show on Sundays. WTR Productions is the best, baby. And yes, our producer Tim Stein amazingly made it through the entire 2 hours. Didn't once say, oh, by the way, Team Canada rules. Yes, I'll admit it as a hockey fan. They won. They had to go to overtime to beat the United States, but they did. Thank you for checking us out on OWW Radio. We'll see you next week. This has been so much fun. I'm so glad Rhett Titus called in, and he's the biggest swerver in the history of the business. Oh, my God. That was just like, whoa. I want to thank you all. Good night, everybody.
Through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.